Gentlemen, I saw a story written. I thought it's a very nice story. It's written in a sefer, and the story goes like this. It was a French Yid that was, just very quickly, because we want to get on with it, but just very quickly. It was a Yid that came from France, that was in the 1970s perhaps, came for the week to Eretz Yisrael. A little bit unaffiliated, not very strong, not very solid kind of Yiddishkeit. But he still said he's going to come to Eretz Yisrael for the week, for the week trip, kind of 2 weeks perhaps. And he was a very open-minded guy. And he said, if what I see in Eretz Yisrael, if I really like it, I don't mind. I'm happy to explore the idea of staying there. If I see the yeshivas, in particular, if the yeshivas are impressive, it's really as nice as they say, then, I don't mind staying. I'm open to it. I'm open to staying in yeshivas. And with that open mind, he went up to Eretz Yisrael. He went to one of the very prominent yeshivas to visit. And he goes there and he starts schmoozing to a couple of bochim. Now, he was dressed in a the French 1970s with the funny hats and the funny trousers, the funny t-shirts. So that's the way he looked. And he had this conversation with the Ponovish Bochim. And the Ponovish Bochim, I don't know Ponovish, I'm just saying, one of the prominent yeshivas. I don't think it was Ponovish, but I'm just saying one of the prominent yeshivas. And they were schmoozing. And the Bochim there felt he looks a bit funny. He really talked a bit funny. And he looked a bit funny. And they started laughing a little bit. And this Boch was deeply, deeply humiliated. And deeply, deeply offended. And he said, well, if that's what yeshivas produce, and that's what yeshivas, if that's what he fosters, if that's what he creates, forget it, I'm not interested in that. And he turned back, and he spent, of course, the week or two in Eretz Yisrael, but he said, as we say in plain English, nisht is nisht. You know what I'm saying? Bonjour, that's right. So he said, and au revoir, yeah, and he went back. And he went back to France, where he went to university, and he had a very successful university, and eventually he got a degree, and he had a very successful career in his area, and it was very successfully. He built himself a financially very good career, and he got married to some sort of French, unaffiliated, just about Jewish girl, and life went on like this, and he had about 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, after 35 years of very successful career, he retired. And by then his wife also was out of the picture, and he said after that, he said a bit of spare time. He'd retired, lots of money, no responsibilities, not much going on in his day. He says, let me try this. You heard about this Gemara. He said, let me just try Gemara. Because remember, at one point he was a bit more. So he started learning Gemara. He felt very engaged, he loved the Gemara. He learned what Daf Yoimi, one Daf, another Daf, another Daf. He got really into it. And after a few months, he said, France is great, France is beautiful, Paris is lovely, but let's go to the real place. Real place being? Of course, go to Eretz Yisrael. He went off to Eretz Yisrael, and he went to the yeshivas, and as he goes to one of the yeshivas, lo and behold, who does he meet? One particular yeshiva. And who is that Rosh Yeshiva? As he starts speaking to that Rosh Yeshiva, he realizes this person is? No? Exactly, the boy who humiliated him. And he says, hey, did you learn some 35 years ago there and there? He said, yeah. He says, I want to tell you something, I'm not moichel you. He said, what do you mean, who are you? He said, I'm not moichel, no elam hazeh, no elam haba. He says, why not? He says, listen, you don't remember, but I'm going to remind you now. 35 years ago, I came from France, and told him the story. He said, do you remember this? And he said, yes, I remember this. He says, you are a Gantzor Shashiva now, and you humiliated me in such a way that I made a U-turn because of you laughing. You made fun of me because I was wearing this hat, I was wearing this shirt. You made fun of me because of that, I turned around. And that's it. I'm not moichel you because I've lost 30 years of my life being not from. 30 years of my life I've lost because of being unaffiliated, all because of you laughing. I'm not moichel you. I'm not moichel you. And the shiva is completely blown. And he said, can't be. He said, it's true. It's like, I remember that incident. Vaguely, but I remember it. And he said, you're right. He said, how can I ask mechila for 30 years? How can I ask mechila? I'm asking you mechila. He says, you can't be moichel. Can't be moichel, wasted life. Coming moichel 30 years wasted down there for nothing. He says, please be moichel. He says, how can you be moichel? And they carried on conversing this, and the Rosh Yeshiva felt really, really deeply sorry for what he had done. Please be moichel. He says, the only thing I can think of, Rosh Yeshiva, is as follows. You are a Marbitz Torah. You are teaching Torah. He says, I want to learn Torah. I want to make up now for what I've lost. I can't make up this, but in terms of quality, you can teach quality Torah. You're able to teach quality. You're a Shiva, you can teach quality Torah. So if you commit, that's the only way I can be moichal you. If you commit to teaching me Torah every single day for 2 hours, we learn in the morning, say it together, that's the only way I can be moichal you. So Shiva, on the spot, he says, fine, that's it, I'm going to learn with you. I want you mechila. And he says, despite the fact that he's meant cancelling his share that he gave every day, you know, and cancelling all the commitments and all obligations he had, he said he wants mechila. He started learning with that French retired individual, starting to learn every single day morning Seder for a good few solid hours in the morning, and few saw those Shiva. It was quite a sight, but that's he carried on like this for a good few years, and that's to give us a bit of an indication. I think it's a very 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 powerful story. Rabbi Yisai, Simon Tov Reish Chof Chesiv Beis Ha'oisis V'Kosev B'Reish Ha'Gola. What if somebody makes a sukkah in Reish Ha'Gola on top of a wagon? How about that? I imagine, why would somebody do a sukkah on the Rosh HaGola? Why would somebody do a sukkah on top of a wagon? I think that's, what? I think it was the Dubavitchers who did I'm sure that was the mitzvah tank equivalent. So if somebody does a sukkah on the Rosh HaGola on a wagon, that's very important. Or a sukkah on a boat, on a ship. Remember, people traveled on a boat, so there's, you know, what are you going to do if you travel? Yeah, that's right, yeah. Exactly, yes, it does, yeah. So you want to, yeah. So what if you are traveling in the middle of sukkahs on a boat? Can you put a sukkah on it? So, now, the halacha is as follows. We know this. Where is it more windy? On dry land or in the sea? Sea is much more windy. What happens? See, it's very windy there. So now, the halacha is as follows. If you're making a sukkah, which is firm enough, that if this sukkah would be standing, sturdy enough, if that sukkah would be standing on dry land, it would be stable, then that sukkah is a kosher sukkah, even if it's on a boat. Despite the fact that what? That perhaps it could. Of course. So you have a sukkah, Rabbi Isai, you're putting this sukkah. This sukkah is a good sukkah on land. But it's not a good sukkah on the boat because it's too windy there. But you take that sukkah, and on land it would be good. But you're putting it on the boat, it's going to fly away after 5 minutes. It's still a kosher sukkah. It's a kosher sukkah. As long as it lasts, it's a good sukkah. As long as it lasts. Because if it blows away, it's not going to be a good sukkah anymore. And even if it's going to be a good sukkah, as long as it lasts.
But its sugar is going to be temporary, strong enough to stand up.
So the halacha is, I'm emphasizing and stressing the word, that it's going to be ruach metzui, needs to be able to stand in a place that it can hold the wind of a yabosha, of dry land. However, if he cannot stand wind of a dry land, then it's going to be psula. So if you're putting a very flimsy sukkah, very, very flimsy sukkah, in England, where it's sometimes quite windy, it's possible. But if it is able to stand regular wind on dry land, of dry land, even if it's not able to hold strong wind of the seas, share, it's going to be kosher. Okay, there's quite a few halachas of here. Rabbi Yisai, the Rosh HaGola. Now, Rosh HaGola. Rosh HaGola. Mishtibusev Kotten Yud says, Rosh HaGola, after Mitaltel of Likvid, despite the fact that it is mobile, and it's not established, it's not firmly established, nevertheless it's kosher. Well, okay, therefore, hasoichim merchants, yicholin asa sukkah ba'agoloiz shalahem shikorin baidel. The merchant can do sukkahs on their, what's a baidel? Maybe in the back is it, does anybody know what baidel is? Maybe some sort of wagon. They can do it on a horse wagon. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, probably something like that. What does he say?
Bible. It has Bible.
ובלבד שבסורך הגבוה הזה הטפוח מזל is got hate for him on up רכב שבטפוח him on the side below a gargalim without the wheels. Rabbi Sai, the poskim say, what if you want to put a sukkah? Rabbi Yashi was asked, can you put a sukkah on top of a car? Can you put a sukkah on top of a car? Why not? Same halachas. So that's what we're applying it. Yeah, there may be some distinctions, but on the principle, we're comparing it. You can put it, as long as you don't go in through the car. Yeah. Ah, because the keli. Okay, perhaps. But the poskim are allowing it, as long as you go in the sukkah from which side? Not through the sunroof, but you go in from the side. Yeah, that's the way you go in. Yeah, so that's the way you go into the sukkah. Yeah. Now, continues the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Gimel. Asa b'roish ha-gomel. What if you put a sukkah on top of a gomel, meaning a, what's a gomel? A camel. Why is a gomel called a gomel? Because what?
Because it bestows kindness.
What's that? They say the Mefarshim say the Achronim say that Gomel is called the Gomel from Loshen Gmilas Chasadim. Why is Gmilas Chasadim?
If you look by the sugar
of Gomel Dalim, they say that it's what?
By the sugar of Rivka and the camels, it's mentioned that 26.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So they say that it's called the Gomel because the Gomel is Gomel Chesed. Because you can take it in the desert for days and days and days, and it won't require any more. It doesn't require. It doesn't need to. It doesn't get dehydrated. It's got lots. So it's very. It's a very trustworthy and loyal, way of transport in the desert. So although it's, I think it's a myth that you can poke in and drink water from the. I think that's a myth. Yeah, that's a myth. But what it is a fact is that you can travel on the camel for days and days in the desert. That's for sure a fact. So it's a goymel, it's gomel because goymel has it on the side, as a side point. You can also put a sukkah on a tree. It's still kosher. So on the camel, on the tree, it's kosher. However, but you cannot go up onto the sukkah from the tree on Yom Tov. So it's kosher for Chol HaMoed, great, but you cannot go up the tree on Yom Tov. What if the sukkah is partially on the tree, partially on something else? If the sukkah is built in a way that if you take the tree away, it would collapse. You can't go through the tree up to the sukkah. But if you could climb up the tree, if you could climb up to the sukkah without going onto the tree, the tree is not significant, then it would be okay. So it all depends on the importance, the significance of the tree. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, I want to look at the first two points of here, the Rosh HaGomel and the Rosh HaIlon. Mishnah Berurah Seif Katan Tesvav. How do you make a sukkah on a camel? You'd make the tfanos bein chatoiseo v'sichal gabon. What you did is you put the tfanos, the walls between the bumps, v'sichal gabon, put the schach on top of it. Very interesting. How do you do that? Can't exactly picture it. A gomel has got two. So you put it. I want to figure out the sukkah on a camel. Is that a picture? Do you have a picture?
It's in the sukkah Mishnah's picture.
Well, how does he do it?
It's on the top. They make a little base. They make a little base for it, don't they?
Because he's interesting. He says, "Heinish osat funus
bechatusel." Make a cutout for the hump.
What's that?
Cutout.
Oh, that's what we want to see. That's very interesting.
Yeah,
picture design.
DT lessons.
That's it.
Craft design technology.
Yeah, picture design gives us an indication.
That is what you're going
to. Yeah, you need to look at both bottom pictures. You've got the boat as well. Yeah,
send it around.
No, well, the next picture is also good of the on top of the
design. It's fantastic. It's a proper shebang.
Now, the Mishnah asked the following question. We know we can't go up on a tree on Shabbos. That's what Shulchan Aruch says. If you've got a sukkah on top of a tree, Shulchan Aruch says, you can use that sukkah on Chol HaMoed, you can't use it, because you cannot climb up a tree. So the reason is because you're not allowed to be mishtamesh through. You're not allowed to be mishtamesh. Look, Mishnah Berurah says, "Mipnei she also the mishtamesh b'yom tov I'm reading the words. 1 minute. "Mipnei she also the mishtamesh b'yom tov ba'alechayim u'b'chubo." You're not allowed to use something which is connected. It goes in the world of muktzah. Something which. That also, you might also end up breaking. Now I want to ask you a question like this. What would be the halacha therefore? So we know you can't climb up. Halacha is, there's the Issa Drabon, and you're allowed to climb up trees on Shabbos. What happens if you have Enon Yom Tov? What happens if you don't have any other sukkah besides that sukkah? And it turns out, you don't have an alternative. We're talking about first day Yom Tov. I posed a very interesting question. First day Yom Tov. The only sukkah you have is a sukkah that you built cleverly on top of a tree. Or on top of the camel, by the way. It's the same thing. You're not to mishtamash balechai in Yom Tov either. You're not to use animals in Yom Tov either. So let's talk about the one on top of the tree. We know you're not allowed to go up on Shabbos in Yom Tov, but that's the only sukkah you've got. So what's the alternative? You're going to eat, you're not going to go up. Well, if you're not going to go up, where are you going to eat? You're going to eat in the dining room. You're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat chutz the sukkah. So what's better? I'm asking the following question. You have a sukkah in a place which you cannot access. Halachically, you cannot access that sukkah. But it's Drabonon. Is it better to be over on Drabonon, thereby Mekayim the Deraisa, or drop the Issa Drabonon and drop the Mitzvah Deraisa? What a beautiful shayla. It's a classic. We can apply this for Dalcha Kishulchan Aruch. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, again. The only way you can get to your sukkah is by doing a Drabonon. Because you're not allowed to climb up a tree on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's the only sukkah you've got. Question is it better to do the abon and do the reisa, or to eat outside a sukkah, which is going to be at the isur deraisa? It's going to be the reisa, but you're not going to be able to do abon. Shabbat Taisa. Are they better not to do anything?
But the concept of mitzvah bavera isn't the place.
Not really. It's not mitzvah bavera, because mitzvah bavera as is. Yeah, and also mitzvah. Yeah, it's not mitzvah bavera. Yeah. So therefore.
So you shouldn't break Shabbos.
So don't break Shabbos. But you're not. So you could argue.
It's every week.
I know, but you could argue that I've got this beautiful mitzvah over here, which is a Yom Tov mitzvah of eating in the sukkah. I only have that once a year. You're going to drop that?
But I believe if you've got the
more frequent
mitzvah, you do the more frequent mitzvah.
Yeah, that's Todd Vashem Otto. That's something else. Todd Vashem Otto, he's not talking about the Isuhim. So the Mishnah Paskins of here as follows. We are quoting with the Mishnah Bussif Kotten Yud Ches.
We don't blow a shofar.
Oh, very good. Oh, so Yosel says, like on exactly, the Rabban is doichet, Gzeva Shem Yavireno is doichet Teresa. Very good, very, very good. So Mishnah Berurah says over here, he says, very much in line with what you're saying. Yeah, if you did go up, then you're still Yotze, but yeah, but all right. Yeah, of course. If you did climb up, it wasn't a great idea, but you still do it in the mitzvah. I'm prima godim shesupah gim elo biyantarach sukkah al gabbeh emo ilon. What happens? Says the prima godim, if you only have a sukkah on top of a tree or on top of an animal, imutu lechatchel alas, can you go lechatchel? Ayin chom biko yankim, masri yosu biko yankim, doch lenet says, also, don't go up this tree to the abonon. The chachomim potu, because chachomim patted him. In other words, since you're not allowed to do, chachomim said, don't do the abonon, even if it's going to cost you the reisa. Don't do this Issa Drabon, even if, because of that, you're not going to be behind the Mitzvah. Fascinating, really, really fascinating. Really fascinating, that's the Mishnah Berurah Paskins. That is how the Mishnah Berurah Paskins. Yeah. And you're going to say, how did they approve the Reise? Don't you see, sometimes they did approve the Reise. That's what we're finding over here. Rabbi said, summer's only this evening, we spoke.
The same across the board.
That's how the Mishnah will pass. Yeah, you're going to have
any case where you have a...
Yes, that's what we're learning now. If we find a contradicting point, then we'll have to figure it out. But that's what the Mishnah says over here. Yeah. The Shulchan Aruch taught us today that if you do a sukkah on top of a wagon, on top of a boat, then you're looking at how the, if it would withhold the normal strength wind, then it's fine, despite the fact that it's not strong enough in a sea environment, sea wind, which is stronger, nevertheless it's kosher. If you would stand in a regular wind on ground, we also learned that if you make a sukkah on top of a camel, or on top of any animal, on top of a tree, since you're not allowed to get a hold, it's kosher for chalamor, it's kosher, but on Yom Tov you cannot access it because of the Isur Rabbanon. We also learned that if a person did it, it should not go up, even if there's no alternative. Rabbi Sarah, this is for this evening. Wish you a very, very good evening.